Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hello everyone, how are you doing? I hope that you're well and comfortable and sitting in a very relaxed position if you are sitting, or standing in a nice comfortable place with lots of fresh air. You may be on public transport, in which case I hope that everyone around you is behaving in the appropriate way. I hope that no one is like pushing up against you awkwardly. Or I hope you don't have someone's armpit in your face if you're on the underground or something. If you're driving, then I do hope that you're driving carefully. I hope the road is nice and clear and that it's a nice, beautiful day wherever you are. In this episode, I'm joined again by my brother, James. The last time you heard from him, he was talking about how he had dislocated his shoulder after falling off his skateboard. Well, in this episode, he does give us an update on his shoulder injury. And then we go on to talk about the music, or his tunes, that he's been making recently. What is a tune? Because this episode is called Making Tunes with Jim. What's a tune? Well, basically, it's a tune. T-U-N-E, tune. You might say tune. It's like the way we say tube, not tube, for the underground. T-U-B-E is actually pronounced tube in London. In a similar way, the word tune is typically pronounced tune. And in fact, a tune is a piece of music, typically a piece of dance music or hip-hop or house music or drum and bass or techno music. And when you hear a really good tune, it's quite typical to say something like, "Oh, this is a tune," or "this is a top tune," for example. Now, my brother makes instrumental hip-hop tunes, and you can hear him talking about his music-making process in this episode, okay? So, Jim is actually quite modest about his music-making, but for years he's been quietly producing lots of instrumental hip-hop on his own, using an old Akai MPC 2000, which is a bit of music making hardware used by some of the most well-known hip-hop, drum and bass and techno producers from the past 15 years or more. Jim bought a second-hand MPC 2000 about 5 years ago, and he's been learning how to use it. He's been producing lots of tracks, and they are getting better and better all the time. And now he's at a point where he's actually released a 10-track album, which is available for purchase online via the website Bandcamp. He doesn't like to talk about his stuff too much because it's very personal to him. But in this episode, he was quite willing to talk about how he comes up with ideas and how he turns them into pieces of music. In our conversation, you'll hear us using various technical language related to music and music production. So watch out for all of that. If you'd like to download any of my brother's tunes, you can do that. Jim's album is available on Bandcamp. Just go to jt2000.bandcamp.com, or you can just find the webpage on my website for this episode, and you can click a link, and you'll find his album there. And it's very, very easy to download it from Bandcamp. Bandcamp is a very useful website for artists and musicians to sell and share their work. They can upload it onto Bandcamp, and then it's available for you to preview, and you can download it. And the artist is able to set the price for the download. Now, my brother chose to allow you to determine the price for the download. So you can download it for free if you want, or if you think he deserves to be paid for his work, you can choose to purchase the music, and you can choose the price. So you can decide to purchase it for just £0 or €0 or €0 or whatever. Or you, if you want, you could pay him, you know, £1 million, €1 million, €1 million, whatever you want. You can pay nothing or you can choose a price. It's completely up to you. Okay, so you can check out his stuff. Click the link on the webpage for this episode. You can listen to it. You can download it if you want to, and you, then you can enjoy it. But how about listening to my brother talking about just the process that he goes through in producing his music? Okay, and I'm talking about the whole process from like nothing, like having an idea in the first place, that just the creative moment of being inspired, all the way through to ending up with a piece of music which he can then share or even sell online. You also hear in this episode my brother and I suggesting to you, the listeners of the podcast, that if you are music makers as well, if you're musicians, amateur musicians, if you make music, then why not send some of your music to me here at Luke's English Podcast? You could email me, and the email address that I'm using at the moment is actually still the competition address. That's podcastcomp@gmail.com. If you want to share some music with me, send it to my email address or leave a link as a comment to this episode, and I will gather together any music which is sent to me. And then at some point in the future, with my brother, I'll do an episode in which we play some of your music, and then we respond to it by talking about it, giving our own personal responses, and so on. So it could be quite a good way for you to share some of your music with the audience of Luke's English Podcast. So do that. Send me your homemade music, and I'll feature it on the podcast at some point in the future. Okay, thanks for listening to this introduction. You can now get started, and I hope you enjoy the conversation with my brother in which we talk about making tunes. Here it is. So how are you? How are you doing? How's that cup of tea that you're drinking?
Fine, thanks. Just caught me slightly unawares there. I thought you were going to do a little intro first, but...
I think I'm going to do the intro in post-production, as it's called. Rather than doing it live.
I'm nodding respectfully.
Jim is nodding respectfully, and he's also drinking a cup of tea. Just describe the mug that you're drinking the tea from, would you?
It's a Sex Pistols mug, and on one side there's a sort of slightly badly printed Sex Pistols logo, and on the other side it's the album cover. Never mind the bollocks, here's the Sex Pistols.
The what? The Sex Pistols.
The album art, yeah.
The Sex Pistols, right. Some people listening to this will know exactly who the Sex Pistols are. Other people might not. Is it worth explaining who they are?
No. of the invention of Google.
Just so, Google it. They're a band.
Watch the documentary, whatever it's called, The Filth and the Fury.
The Filth and the Fury was a film
by Julian Temple.
Julian Temple made a documentary about the group, the Sex Pistols. They were a punk band, but you probably already know that if you listen.
Let's move on.
All right. So, second question is, how is your shoulder? Because that the last time you were on the podcast, you were talking about how you dislocated your shoulder, and everybody in the world is now thinking, how is Jim's shoulder? So, how is it?
It's much improved, thank you. It feels much, much better. Almost back to its full strength. Still feels a bit uncomfortable occasionally, and I have to do more exercise, which I'm not necessarily doing enough of.
Yeah.
I've kind of worked on sort of the basic exercises of mobility, and that's kind of getting more and more movement until I'm basically able to do every movement I was before. I'm doing it now, if you can't tell in my voice.
What are the movements that you have to do?
Well, I don't know. I just made them up because the physio took so long to come through, the NHS physio, that I just started doing my own physio.
What do you mean the physio took so long to come through?
Well, they refer you to a physiotherapist after an accident like that, and they didn't get in touch for about 6-7 weeks,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of the recovery time.
Right.
So you need to be doing physio in the first and second week, really, not because they're oversubscribed.
I see, because they're so busy dealing with all the other...
It's a bit of paper now, so I'm not even going to follow it up. It's too late now. I've done my own.
You've done your own physio.
I did a bit of research and I learned a bit about the injury and how you're supposed to exercise it. So I have been doing that. So okay. It's fine.
Good. Are you still skateboarding?
I skated once last week and it felt a bit weird, a bit scary, to be honest, because I haven't done it for 2 months or something.
Yeah. Yeah. The last thing you need is to fall off again and do it again. Because I got like a comment or an email from one of my listeners explaining in rather passionate terms that you should really look after yourself, because if it happens again, then it can become a very problematic recurring injury.
I'm aware of all this, and thanks to that listener for caring.
Not just one. I've had several responses from listeners. One response from a regular listener called Hiroshi Maruyama, who's a regular commenter.
Is he a doctor?
He's not a doctor, but he expressed quite a lot of concern over your physical well-being. So just, I think you should say to Hiroshi, you know, something just to make him feel comfortable that you're looking after yourself. So do you have something to say to Hiroshi just to make, you know, just to put his mind at rest?
No. Thanks for the concern. I appreciate it. And I'll take that on board and look after myself. Thank you.
Okay. There you go, Hiroshi. He's listened to what you had to say and he's responded to it. Everything's all right. So you've been making loads of music recently, I believe. Because like every now and then you send some to me. I've got like a huge playlist of your tracks on my MP3 player and I listen to it all the time. And like you're being very prolific these days, aren't you?
Sort of, yeah. I suppose. There are quite a few tracks, yeah.
What kind of music is it that you do?
It's sort of, how would you describe, well, it's just music. Instrumental kind of beats, I suppose you'd call it. It's in a very, you know, if I had to describe it, okay. It's just for fun, really.
Yeah.
It's on an MPC 2000, which is a sampler sequencer thing, which I bought a few years ago, and they're really good fun, and it's just really, really enjoyable. It's good fun. You should try it, actually. I think you'd be quite good, actually.
Yeah, I'd like to try it.
You're a very good drummer. It's a bit like drums. It is a percussive way of playing music. So everything's done on these drum pads, but you can also play your samples through the drum pad. So you're playing, it's a very percussive, hands-on way of making sample type music.
Okay. I've actually played some of your tracks in the background on episodes of the podcast before, so I think my listeners probably have an idea of what kind of stuff it is that you do. I mean, could I describe it as instrumental hip-hop?
I suppose, yeah, that's the easiest way of describing it, yeah.
Okay. Do you have, like, influences? What are your influences? What kind of stuff do you listen to and you think, I'd love to do something like that?
Okay, there's a few. Someone like Alchemist, he's very good.
Alchemist?
He's an American producer, and he does very kind of gangstery rap beats, but he just does them really, really well. They're very refined, and they sound very clean, and... but they don't sound too artificial either. They sound quite natural, but they're not trying to be old school and sort of retro. Yeah. And at the same time, they don't sound annoyingly fast. Like some of this trap music, you know, the sort of very high... oh, I can't be asked to explain it. I just like the Alchemist stuff anyway. And also there's a guy called Black Milk. He does very good organic sounding tracks from very weird samples like 80s electronic... 80s electro kind of samples and all sorts of weird samples that isn't the usual sample fodder.
Yeah.
Who else is good? This guy called Adrian Young.
Adrian Young, yeah.
Yeah, Young with an E at the end. I think that's how you say it. And he used to use all samples and stuff, but he's moved on to getting session guys in. So he composes the song like a hip-hop tune, but it's all played by a live band.
Mm.
And that's really good. That's like really taking it forward.
Yeah.
Into just actual music. It's not just a genre anymore. It's just now just a band playing music, you know, which is the way to do it, rather than categorizing yourself as, oh, this is hip hop. You know, I think it's more impressive to open it up.
Because when we talk about hip hop, we sort of think about music which is probably originally based on samples taken from records. Like, it would have been like two turntables, someone looping a record by playing it again and again over two copies of a record, mixing them together, and then someone rapping on the top. But then people started using sort of sequencing technology, like things like the Akai, is it MPC 2000?
That's the one I've got, but there's earlier models, like the MPC 60, I think it's called. And, you know, the DJ Shadow album, Introducing?
Yeah.
I think that was all made on an MPC.
Really?
Maybe an MPC 60, actually, an even earlier model than the one I've got.
And these MPC, what do you call them, sequencers, samplers?
It's a portable MIDI sampler, sequencer. Yeah, I suppose it's a... I'm trying to think what they describe it as.
I suppose it's
a music production center. It's a portable music production center based around sampling something in. So that can be a live guitar,
yeah,
a drum sound, something you've recorded yourself, or you can take it from a record.
Okay. So,
or you just record from a mic if you want. It just goes straight in and then you can rearrange it and sequence it however you like.
Okay. And
using pads, these 16 pads. So you play everything on these pads.
Mm. Okay. So it's like you take, for example, a sample of either you playing a bit of guitar or a bit of a record or like someone, you know, singing or something, anything, any kind of either pre-recorded music or something you've recorded live. It goes into the MPC and then it's like you can activate that sample by pressing one of the pads. You can also edit the sample, so you clip it so you know exactly where it's going to start and finish, and then you activate each bit by pressing one of the pads. That's where the percussive element comes in. So
and you can play it live if you set up a drum kit on there, for instance, with a kick drum, a hi-hat, a snare. You can play drum patterns and use it like a live machine as well. You don't have to program it, you can just play it sort of for fun. Yeah. Almost like a little electronic drum kit, but you can set where the samples go and what they are.
Mm.
So it's great fun, and it's very, once you get your head around it, once you get used to how it works, you can use it very quickly.
Yes.
And it seems to have a natural kind of quite warm sound.
Why is that?
I don't know. Because it's got some inbuilt compressors in it, I believe.
The hardware, so, basically, like
it,
the...
It compresses the sound and makes it sound better.
Yeah.
So you get a nice, I don't know why, I don't know how it works, but you get a nice warm sound and it makes the songs kind of hold together quite well.
Yeah, because it compresses the samples and...
Yeah, especially the drums and things like stabs and bass notes. It can have a very, very rich bass because you can turn the bass down, if you know what I mean. You can filter the bass.
Yeah.
So it filters out all the top end and all you're left with is a very... bassy sound,
very deep warm sound. And it's perfect for making hip hop, isn't it, really? I mean, it's not the sort of, it's not a piece of hardware that you would use to record like a rock band, let's say, but
you could do the rhythm section that way. If you were a kind of band that used drum machines instead of a live drummer, or even for recording, you could produce a very good rock rhythm section, I think, on an MPC. And you could make it sound live as well. It'd be quite a good challenge, actually. I might try and do that.
Hmm.
Okay. So I think you could, but it's not often done. You can make drum and bass on them. You know Ronnie Size?
Ronnie Size is a kind of British drum and bass guy.
He made a lot of his tunes on an MPC.
Okay.
And also you can make things like techno. Carl Craig, you see, is an MPC.
Yeah.
You can make a house on it, anything on it. Oh, yeah, but I know what you mean. It wouldn't really be something that's used in a rock band, usually, no.
Yeah, okay. The MPC 2000, this particular bit of hardware, was actually brought out in the 90s, wasn't it?
I think 1997.
1997. And this is a piece of hardware that lots of really classic bits of hip-hop were created on.
Yeah, there's a few equivalents. Like, there's a... what's the other one called? There's an ASR, which is a keyboard,
mm-hmm.
which does pretty much the same kind of thing. And there's another one as well, and I can't remember what it's called. Jake prefers these ones, and they've got sliders and smaller buttons.
Okay.
I can't remember what it's called. It doesn't matter. But there's lots of similar gear, but I think the MPC is the best one.
Okay. So for me, it's got a certain kind of sound. Like, as you say, it compresses the sounds and sort of pushes them together and creates a sort of hip hop sound, because so many other bits of like people like Pete Rock, for example, use this bit of hardware, and so this, you know, it's got that character to it somehow.
It has. And it also, apparently, some people say it has an inbuilt kind of swing, like a funky sound. That's what people say. But I mean, it has got swing on it. You can adjust the swing and put 50% swing, 70% swing, and it's skippy, makes the beat, the rhythm a bit more skippy.
So, for example, if you enter in a hi-hat going t-t-t-t-t,
yeah,
and you play it back with the swing added, it can go or something like that. It can add a little bit of swing to it to kind of give it a nice beat.
Some people say that is the kind of classic hip-hop sound, with, you know, a kind of drum kit broken down, played back with that MPC swing.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you want me to play a little bit of one of your tracks at this point? Can you think of a good track for me to play?
I'll have a think. Which was the one that you liked? That was the one, Banana Milk.
I heard one called Banana Milk, which I thought was really good.
So there's some samples on this that you might recognise, but I don't think you will. And maybe I shouldn't say what they are, because I haven't cleared them. But
just before I play this...
I'm saying this is amazing or anything. It's just for fun. And once you've got all these tracks, you might as well let people hear them if they want to hear them.
Okay.
So I'm not saying this is the best thing. I'm still learning. But play some. Yeah, okay. Go for it.
Here we go. This one's called Banana Milk. It's still playing a little bit in the background. I've just dropped it out. So that sounds really nice. Now, I wonder how much of that is samples and how much of it is just sort of stuff that you've created yourself from scratch.
It's actually all samples.
Really? Everything is samples?
Except for one bit, one little tone, a kind of high-pitched, well, not high-pitched, a sort of high tone.
Yeah.
It's actually off of an app on my iPhone, which makes weird synthy sounds.
Yeah.
I just wanted a clean, simple synth sound, so I sampled it off my phone.
Wow, okay.
That's the only time I've ever done that, because I don't really like using software, but I just needed a sound like that.
Okay. Now, I expect that some of my listeners aren't completely sure what we're talking about when we say sample, to sample something.
Yeah, they don't know.
Hold on a minute. They might not know, because some of them will definitely know because they understand the way in which this kind of music is made. But there'll be some people who honestly don't know what I mean. I don't mean to patronise anyone, but genuinely, some people don't know what sampling is. So can you just tell me what sampling is?
It's stealing someone else's music.
How?
By recording it off a record. But the idea is you take a bit that's so small. I mean, in the past, there's been big sampled records that have used the main hook of someone else's song.
Like, for example,
Will Smith, Welcome to Miami, which is Chic or something, isn't it? Or Sister Sledge.
Really? Well, Will Smith did Getting Jiggy With It, which was He's the Greatest Dancer by Sister Sledge.
Well, it's that one then. That's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah. That's a very obvious example of a sampled song.
Yeah.
But the ones that, as it developed, I like to use samples that you can't necessarily tell where it's come from.
Right.
And so it doesn't feel so bad. You're not stealing the main hook.
Mm.
You're just taking little sounds here and there and rearranging them.
Okay.
So hopefully it's not even identifiable. Like, I don't want people to go, oh, it's from that. It's almost like you're just using little bits of sound to try and make something that you want, rather than stealing anything exactly. But it is, you know, debatable.
So rather than taking like an entire four bars of a song with the drums, bass, guitar, keyboards and everything, you're just taking like a tiny little sound, like it could be just one snare noise, like pat, like one pat
exactly.
from a snare drum, and you just take that because it's a nice snare sound, like one tiny half a second of the record.
And it's also the way song copyright is done, it's normally based around the song and the melody. So if you're not stealing a melody, it's very debate. It's a bit of a grey area whether you're actually stealing, in inverted commas, anything.
Yeah.
So if you take a snare and maybe pitch it up a little bit so it's not exactly the same pitch, or change it even to tiny, tiny bit, A, no one's going to know, and B, even if they do know, what law is there to exist to stop you doing that? And ethically, is it okay? I mean, if you don't know where it's from, I don't know.
If you're not stealing the whole arrangement, the
you're not
melody.
Stealing any of the arrangement. You're not stealing any melody. You're stealing maybe a tiny bit and rearranging it.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. Who knows? Does it matter? Probably not. There's more important things to worry about, isn't there?
It's debatable. I mean, you know, it's a question. It's a very interesting question about, you know, whether it's okay to sample and to what extent you can sample.
Find even a sampled song, if it does go into the mainstream and actually make any money, you normally find out that if they haven't cleared the sample, then they will retrospectively pay. However, if someone gets in touch, it used to be a very complicated system and people would try and sue each other, which is very costly and no one would end up making any money. But now there's a kind of a deal worked out where you pay a percentage. If it's an identifiable sample, you would pay a percentage to that as a, like a musician would, as it would. Anyway, you know what I mean?
I do, yeah. I do know what you mean. Right, now I want you to tell.
There are times where like old songwriters that have had a record out once in the 70s and are now poor and haven't got any money. Their song has 20 years, 30 years later been a hit and that's paid for them to buy a house or something.
Yeah.
So it can be quite a good thing.
Yeah. If they're kind of credited for it in the right way and all that stuff. Yeah.
Eventually, when it gets through the system, they actually get paid. So.
Okay. All right.
But that's kind of going off the subject, really. I just do it for fun and as a sort of a challenge. And as you know, we both used to play in bands, and playing in a band is quite frustrating, isn't it? When you're trying to get everyone together, it's very rare to find four people that all want to play exactly the same kind of music. There's always some people that are better than others. It can be a very frustrating and time-consuming experience.
Yeah, my listeners might remember an episode I did a while ago called The Story of Salvo, which was a story of
drunken episode.
It was a slightly drunken episode, but nevertheless, it was still the story of how we tried to, you know, make our group music project work, and how actually it's very difficult because it's a team project, and when you've all got like, you know, working lives and things to deal with too, it can be hard to, you know, really work together to like achieve something. I think it was great being in a band, but you're saying the advantage of doing something on your own like that is that you get total control over how, where, when, what you're doing.
It's so much easier. You don't need to go to a practice studio. I mean, I can play it with my headphones on. It doesn't disturb anyone. Mm. And if I want a guitar sound, I can just plug in my guitar and play it straight into the machine.
Yeah.
And I've got it then. Or if I want to, you know, put some percussion in, I've actually got a tambourine, a shaker, things like that, and a cheap mic, like the same one that you're holding there, I think, and just literally hold it up against the mic and I can put it in. It's like a tambourine sound or a shaker sound.
Yeah.
And then it's done and dusted in about 5 minutes, whereas if you did that in a band, you'd have to go to a recording studio, practice all the songs so everyone knew them, practice studio, then go to some kind of recording facility, even if it was your mate doing it.
Yeah.
And it takes forever.
It's very expensive.
Very expensive, very time consuming, and with the MPC, it's all, you can do it all in, you can write a beat in an hour.
Yeah.
And then pack it up, put it away, and you've got the table to eat dinner on or whatever.
Yeah. Some people might be thinking, nowadays with, you know, our computers and stuff, we can get software that does absolutely everything. I mean, you can get incredible software that allows you to do all sorts of incredible manipulation of music just there on a laptop. Why do you choose to use a piece of hardware that was made in 1997? Why aren't you using, you know, like, what is it, Pro Tools? Is that an example?
There's also lots of things. Pro Tools, Logic. I have used Logic, and I used to use a thing called Fruity Loops, which is a really easy to use bit of software. If anyone wants to get into making tunes, that's what we call them, tunes.
Yeah, not tunes, not tunes, but tunes, like C-H-O-O-N-S.
If you want to get into making tunes, Fruity Loops is a good way to start. And, you know, I occasionally try using bits of software. I just don't really like it.
Yeah.
It's like pushing a mouse around a screen. I don't like the interface, man.
It's not very...
The experience is not very tactile. With the MPC, you can literally bash it with your hands and get a feel going. And it feels quite nice, the soft rubber pads. But with a computer, you've just got this hard plastic in front of you, and it's just not as much fun.
Staring into the bright screen, it's not very pleasant. It's not really very pleasant.
Moving these little blocks around, and it's very irritating. And with software, people always use too many effects. You know, there's always so much compression on everything and so much echo and reverb and delay, and you're like... with the MPC, there's actually no effects at all.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't add delay. You can cheat it. There's ways of making a kind of a fake delay, and by using repetition, but quieter. So it's almost like a delay coming back off a back wall.
What's delay?
Where an echo, essentially. You know the John Bonham drum sound? That's essentially an echo bouncing back off the end of the wall and coming back at the same time.
So when they... Okay, we're talking now about Led Zeppelin's classic track, When the Levee Breaks, which begins with a... I mean, I'm going to have to play it. I'll find it very quickly. I've got it here. It's a classic bit of, like, rock history, isn't it, this track?
I don't know why I mentioned that. It's just an
example. It's a good example it's a good example of echo being used to good effect. So you might know this, ladies and gents, but the opening to this track has got John Bonham playing the drums very loud, and it's been sampled actually by lots of people, usually sped up. It sounds really good when it's sped up and played really fast. But it's John Bonham playing the drums in the intro to this track, and they recorded it, I believe, in a very long room, I think at the end of a staircase or something, a very long, narrow staircase, that they put the drums at one end, and I think they put a microphone at the other end or something like that, and it meant that the drum being played echoed all the way to the end of the room and all the way back, and it created this awesome sort of epic sounding, big echoey sound. And and let's have a little listen to it now. This is just an example of echo or delay being used to good effect. Okay, so you just heard, just it might not be obvious to you, but that there's echo on each of the hits on the drum.
The reason I started talking about that is because you can kind of fake that effect with an MPC, if you know what you're doing. Just as an example. And I can always send you some videos of these things being used, so your listeners can understand what's so fun about them.
Yeah, that would be good. So can you tell us then exactly how you make a track? Let's start from nothing, where you just have an idea. Like, tell us how you have ideas. You start from nothing, and then go through the whole process to, at the end, having a piece of music that you can play to someone.
Okay, the first thing is you go to the record shop or the charity shop, and you buy some 99p records.
You're talking about vinyl, old-school vinyl records.
And take them home, put them on, and have a cup of tea, and listen to the music in sort of... Let it just play on in the background. Sometimes you skip through listening for good bits, and sometimes you just let it play. Sometimes it's complete crap, and sometimes you hear a tiny bit and you think, oh, that's quite nice, I could use that. And then you hear another little bit, maybe. Or you hear a drum sound. And then whichever one sort of strikes me first, I just turn on the machine and just sample that bit.
Yeah.
And maybe sample sort of like four or five different bits.
Yeah.
That sounds promising. and then just start going into them and tweaking them and chopping them up a bit,
mm-hmm.
and then replaying them in different order maybe, or trying to change the pitch to make them faster or slower or higher or lower in tone.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you might find something that sounds a bit like a hook, or at least the sort of beginnings of a kind of a hooky kind of sound.
What's a hook?
Something, I don't know, what is a hook? A melody, a sort of catchy melody.
I think a hook is, you know, we know a hook is what you use when you go fishing. It's like a metal spike which curves.
It draws you into the song.
Yeah.
It's a little melody that draws you in.
When you go fishing, you use a hook to catch a fish, don't you? You put a worm onto the hook, you put it in the water, the fish eats the worm and it also eats the hook. And then you pull the fish out of the water, you catch the fish using the hook. Well, in music, you might use a hook, and it's something that you use to catch the ear of the person listening. And if it's a good hook, then the person will not be able to stop listening. Their attention will be grabbed by it, and it'll be something that they can remember. I mean, I'm wondering if we can think of a good example of a hook. Often it's a melody or a guitar lick or a keyboard sound or just something memorable and something that grabs your attention. I'm trying to think of a good example. I mean,
Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones.
Perfect. Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones. Where's the hook in Satisfaction?
Don't play it.
All right.
It goes down, 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 down.
Yeah,
that's the hook, because you go, oh yeah, it's that tune.
Yeah, and it sticks in your head.
But none of my hooks are anything as good as that.
That's maybe one of the best hooks ever.
Time.
It's incredible, that. Down, 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 down,
down, down, down, down, down, down. There's a good program last night called Heavy Metal Britannia.
Uh-huh.
And it's about the origins of and birth of heavy metal. And they had really good interviews with Black Sabbath and... Lots of Brummies talking about the origins of metal and Aston and Birmingham.
Yeah, brilliant. All right, so
should we sort of wind this up?
Wait a minute. No, we're just getting into talking about your process for making tracks.
So we were just saying that. So then I start to add things. So sometimes I'll, if I have new drums I found that day, I'll put the new drums on because I like to use new samples each time. This is quite satisfying going, okay, that's a new bit, I'll have that. And then sometimes I want to add a bass, and I have a few pre-recorded bass sounds that I've recorded off my own bass,
mm-hmm.
which is not very good. And so it's a bit crappy quality, but it kind of helps in a way. You just pitch it down a bit and take the treble off, so it sounds very bassy, and all you get is a bassy sound.
All right, so this is.
And sometimes I can pitch that to make it match the sample that I've got. Or sometimes if I can't make it match, I'll play a new bass line and just play it straight into the machine.
Okay, all right. And so after you've taken like little bits and pieces from records and you've added maybe like some bass playing on your guitar or some other stuff, eventually you just end up with a track. Don't you have to sequence it? Can you arrange it?
Sorry, I kind of took that bit for granted. As you play it to a click track and you set the speed and you work in a loop. So it's like a 4-bar loop or an 8-bar loop or a 16-bar loop.
Okay.
And it just keeps on playing that loop and you add more stuff and then blah, blah, blah. That's why the sound is quite repetitive, a lot of it. But I find finding a good groove is kind of more important than writing a very complicated song for me. Because it's almost like it's kind of background music. It's designed to have what maybe could have words over the top of it.
I think when
they're basic rhythm tracks. They're not full songs exactly. They could be developed into songs.
Right. I think they're just begging for vocals to be added on top of them.
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting for the right person to come along. And there's a lot of, you know, I don't know anyone who could do that. I don't know anyone who's good enough. And, you know, I'm not going to... It's very hard. I don't really find it very easy to go on the internet and, like, find the right vocalist. It would seem a bit false.
You want to just meet someone organically, meet someone who you get on with and who you feel has the similar attitude to music as you, and then you sort of end up inviting them back for a cup of tea and they put some vocals down on one of your tracks and you go, wow, this is really good, because we're on the same wavelength and I like the way that they you know, MC or whatever you want to call it.
I don't know what it would be. I don't know. It's also, when you start relying on other people, it gets a bit annoying. I mean, friends of mine have been working with MCs or rappers or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
They're just very unreliable and very, they can be very incommunicative sometimes. I don't mean, maybe that's a bit of a generalization, but you normally find they probably have a lot of people sending them music.
Yeah.
And unless you know them really well or you go back with them, it's unlikely you're going to be first in the queue.
Right.
So I just can't be bothered to chase people when I'd rather just be making a new one myself.
Yeah.
I don't really like the networking side of it. I just like making tunes. And then when you've made them, you might as well play them for someone, because otherwise it's just you on your own listening to your own stuff, which is a bit weird.
Yeah. You've got to get the music out there. I
mean, you've got to get it out there. If no one likes it, fine. But, you know, you've got to give it a chance.
People have to...
But there's so much music out there now, especially on the internet. It's ridiculous. I mean, no one is short of music to listen to, are they? And there's so many ways of listening to it. I mean, most people just go to YouTube and listen to an album they like. And people have got very short attention spans now. You know, it used to be, to listen to music, someone actually had to physically give you a tape or a CD, and you'd have to go put it on your stereo or your car stereo and sit there and listen to it. But now everything's so immediate, you can also immediately switch it off, or also immediately you're doing something else. So yeah. It's a weird one.
So you've put some of your tracks online, haven't you?
I had some on SoundCloud, but right. I don't like SoundCloud.
Why not?
It doesn't always play for me, and I hate the orangeness of it. Something about music is very visual, you know, with the album cover or even a CD sleeve. It's something to look at. But yeah. With SoundCloud, you just get this orange and grey and black mess. It looks like a sort of orange Facebook in your face. And it doesn't feel very music-y to me.
Really?
It feels like a digital experience that it removes me from the music. Whereas if I put a record on and a needle actually goes on the record and I'm in the room with it, it really feels like you're with the music. But with a SoundCloud, it's just this horrible, very antiseptic experience.
SoundCloud.com, isn't it?
I'm not knocking SoundCloud. I don't want to... No. I'm not a pop at SoundCloud. Just for me personally.
Yeah.
I don't really like using it. Don't really enjoy it.
You actually prefer the sort of experience of listening to music by playing it on vinyl. But I'm talking.
The closest to that you've got digitally.
I keep trying to make points, but then you.
All right, sorry.
No, it's all right. So I'm just trying to talk to you. But I was trying to say. So you've got your stuff online. This is my point. That if people want to hear your music, they can. And you did put some stuff on SoundCloud, but you don't really like SoundCloud. You feel it visually, it doesn't sort of suit the experience of listening to music. It's too orange, is what
it's
you
too
said.
Orange. Just
it's
too
just
orange.
Too orange. But you've got 10 tracks on a website called Bandcamp. So just tell me about Bandcamp. What is it?
I don't know much about it, but it's a little bit more like an album-y feel, a record feel, because it's quite minimal. Maybe I'm just too visual about the whole thing, but it feels like it's less orange for a start.
Okay.
Each release is almost treated like its own entity. So you get a page with all your tracks on one page and quite a big album cover. Uh-huh. And it just looks less intrusive and a bit more neutral. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's kind of neutral space where it's like less crowded and less, I don't know. Maybe I'm the only person that thinks this, but it's a more honest way of presenting music, I think. And also people can download the track as an album like you would to your iTunes if you bought one. It's the same as that. Mm. So you get a little folder with the artwork in it and it stays on your hard drive. You're not just listening to it temporarily.
Yeah.
Like, you can download it if you want to, and then it's yours. You know, put it on your phone, put it on whatever.
For me, the thing about SoundCloud is clearly trying to be a social network. They want to be the Facebook of music, right? And they've set the website SoundCloud is very heavily branded with its own identity. As you say, it's very orange. I mean, they've picked orange as their color, and it's got SoundCloud written all over it. And it's very much like, you know, you have to be on SoundCloud in order to enjoy the music. But Bandcamp is a little bit different because they promote the artist a bit more. It's based around the music rather than promoting itself. It's promoting whoever is actually uploading their music onto it. And as you say, when you put your stuff on there, it presents it as if it's one album, as it a bit like when you download music from Amazon or from the iTunes store. It's like there as an album with an album cover, rather than it being just a series of SoundClouds.
It's less noisy. SoundCloud, not literally, but SoundCloud's very visually noisy.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot going on and a lot of activity, which it's almost off-putting, but it is off-putting.
Yeah. With Bandcamp, it just presents the artist first, and Bandcamp, the website, sort of is not quite as in your face. So true. It's better for the artist, basically.
And also, if you actually get to a level where you think you can sell your music, which I'm not at yet, although you bought my album, didn't you?
Yeah, I paid £5. The point is, if my listeners would like to listen to some of my brother's music, which is very good. The thing is, he's very modest, all right, ladies and gents? My brother is a very modest person, and he will not try and sell his stuff. He feels uncomfortable about trying to market or sell his own music. Maybe he's, like, not very confident. He doesn't want to tell you it's the best thing you've ever heard.
No, I just know it's not good enough yet, but it's getting there. Getting there. It's my fourth. Well, the previous ones have been CDs or whatever, but this is the first one I've put online, number four.
It's like its fourth release. I think it's really good, but I mean, we're not saying it's like the lost Beatles album.
It's a learning process. Yeah. It's a good way to get it out there, because then it forces you to say, is this good enough to play? And you kind of think, well, almost. I'll put this one out. The next one will be better.
Yeah. But you can get the album, you can download it, it's available on Bandcamp, and you can find the URL on the page for this episode. And if you go, you can check out all the tracks, you can listen to them all there. There are 10. And you can also download it as well. You can buy it. Now, you can choose how much you pay. You could pay £1, you could pay £10, it's up to you.
Pay £0.
You could pay £0 if you want. You could download it for free. Bear in mind the fact that my brother's spent a fair amount of time doing it, and it's obviously a kind of passion for him. It's his hobby, or whatever you want to call it. It's something he's spent a fair amount of time on. He's kind of too shy or modest to try and sell it, so I'm the one who has to do it. But I genuinely think it's really good stuff. Let me play you one other song. This one's called Nightmares. I wouldn't say they're songs so much as just tunes, as you say, right? Because it's more that's the sort of thing. A song, you imagine, has lyrics and verse, chorus, and that kind of structure. These are tunes that should have an MC rapping on them.
Also, they haven't been mastered or mixed. They're straight out of the machine. Maybe I shouldn't admit that, but they may sound a bit still quiet because they haven't been mixed and mastered properly.
Right. I'm playing a track called Lawless, which I really like. I think it's got a really nice drum sample in it.
And that's me on bass, I think, on that one.
Uh-huh.
I can't hear it from this end. I'm just taking your word for it. It doesn't do much else, but there you go.
It's just a groove.
It's just a groove, man, yeah.
It's nice. It's sort of like music that you can chill out to. It's music that you can have on in the background. It's true, it is. He's so modest that he's embarrassed that I'm now describing his music. But I think anyone listening to this will agree that that is very smooth sounding. And it's very tasteful. And someone needs to be rapping on the top of this.
Okay, if any of your listeners can rap, maybe they can do it.
I would even suggest that anyone out there who can MC, record themselves MCing something on one of these tracks and send it back to me.
Yeah, and they might win something.
You might win the opportunity to, I don't know, feature on more of his music. I'm going to play one other song.
You can't rap, do it anyway.
Just do it anyway, yeah. I really think that everyone should try and record a rap on top of this. It doesn't matter if you can't rap. Do it anyway. I'm going to play another one, which is the one with the Eric Clapton sample.
Oh, it's called... Fuck,
is it Benson
called?
And Hedges?
No. It's called...
B-movie.
No, it's further down. It's called... something room. Room service.
Room service, okay. Let's have a listen to this. Now, folks, if you know the band Cream, Eric Clapton...
Oh, you're not room, supposed to give it away. I'll get in trouble.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm going to play it anyway. I don't care. This is just begging for some MC to throw down some flow on the top of it. It really is. And just imagine, like, members of the Wu-Tang Clan rhyming on top of this. It would be brilliant. It would work.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking I might do a sort of EP of unofficial remixes.
Yeah? Okay. All right, so there you go. I've just played a little bit more of it. So if you want to download his 10-track album, let's call it, then you can. It's called Volume 4. The name is JT2000, and it's available on Bandcamp. You can find it.
Read out
what?
Bandcamp. What is it? What's
it's,
the address?
Right, it's jt2000.bandcamp.com.
That's it.
But you'll find that URL on the webpage for this episode, and then you can just click on it. And
thanks for listening, guys. Sorry, that was appalling.
That's it then, isn't it, James?
I suppose maybe you should say, if any of your other like people who listen and make music, maybe they should get in touch and let us, we could talk about their music sometime.
Yeah.
If we get like four people to send in their music, we could review it and listen to it next time.
I'd love that. I think what... Okay, here's the thing, right? Here's the deal. If anyone out there is listening to this who makes their own music and you would like some of it to be played on Luke's English Podcast, here's what you do, okay? You go to the page for this episode. I don't know actually which episode this is yet. I don't know what number it will be. I don't know what it's going to be called. But anyway, you'll know because you'll be listening to it. So find the page for this episode, and in the comments section, just add a link to one of your bits of music. You can put it on YouTube or whatever, and then I can download it. And then once I've got enough music, I'll share it with my brother, and we'll play it on an episode of the podcast, and we'll talk about your music, and everyone will be able to hear it. And I think that could be really interesting. So do that. Share your homemade music with us, and we'll talk about it on an episode of the podcast at some point in the future.
Learn some English phrases as well, because that's what this is supposed to be about, isn't it?
Yeah, hopefully you've heard in our conversation various bits of language for talking about music, producing music, and that kind of thing. Yeah,
tunes. Right. That's the one thing you should take away from this. They're called tunes.
Shall I call this episode "Making Tunes"?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. That's what this episode is going to be called: "Making Tunes." And it's one of those ones where you're not going to understand what that means until you listen to it. So now I hope that you understand what tunes are. I remember, like, it's when you hear like a really good tune. Like a track that is really brilliant, you tend to go... What do you say to to people when you hear a really good tune?
Sick tune?
No, I think we just go, tune!
Oh, yeah, you just go, tune. You just go, tune.
That is a tune, man.
Something like the Q Project Champion Sound Alliance remix. Tune.
Yeah.
Top tune.
That is a top tune.
That normally refers more to dance music, though, doesn't it, than hip hop? We don't really say hip hop tunes.
Normally, like a really
jungle tune,
jungle, or even a house tune, or a techno, or something, you know, kind of banging dance track that is just sounds amazing. You can say that is a top tune. Okay, and hopefully, my listeners have listened all the way to the end of this episode. James, do you have anything else to say to the people of the world at this point?
Thanks for listening. download the album.
Okay. All right. Thanks for being on the podcast, James. I'll see you on Friday.
Yeah, we've got this the cousin's wedding, haven't we?
That's right. Yeah, I'm the best man.
Have you written a speech?
I've written a speech. I'm practicing it. Hopefully I'll be able to learn it deliver it, and it'll everything will be okay. That's the plan.
Do the glass, you know, when you ting the glass with a knife,
ding 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 ding,
smash the glass.
I think that's a good way to begin.
Ding ding. Oh, sorry,
now that I've got your attention. Yeah,
don't smash the glass because that could be dangerous.
Yeah. I should do an episode of the podcast about weddings and sort of typical things that happen.
Call it four weddings and a funeral.
Hopefully there won't be any funerals. just four weddings.
I'm currently watching a little black cat trying to climb into someone's window.
Really?
On the house opposite, well, the estate opposite. And it's been jumping up trying to get out of the windowsill. It's now on the windowsill and it's staring through, looking really like it wants to get in.
Is the window open?
No. I don't know what it's planning on, but it's not getting through that window, boy.
Not the most intelligent animals in the world, cats. But they're pretty intelligent.
On the scale of plankton to, like, you know, the whale, they're somewhere in the middle, surely.
I suppose so. And there is that argument that says that cats are actually way more intelligent than us because they have us running around feeding them and sheltering them and looking after them while they sit around doing nothing all day.
Have you ever done any cat comedy in your stand-up routines?
No, I've never done cat-based material.
Maybe you should get into it. It's a very big market.
Cats versus dogs. Cats and dogs, ladies and gentlemen.
Do this one. Have you ever seen a cat when it's pissed off? It does this.
That does that with its ears.
Well, its ears will go back and it, like, sucks its face in, like... really offended.
Normally the cats and dogs material is like, cats and dogs are different.
It absolutely kills life.
Cats and dogs are different, aren't they, ladies and gentlemen? You know what I mean? It's like, men and women are different, and cats and dogs are different. Women, and they're like cats, aren't they? Men, they're like dogs. And then go into all the reasons why women are like cats and men are like dogs. Or just the difference between cats and dogs. Like cats, for example, you know, when you come home from work, the dog runs up to you. Like, hey, I'm really glad to see you. When you come home from work, if you've got a cat, the cat's like, oh, who the hell are you? You know, they don't care. Lol. I haven't.
That's a whole routine.
It's been done about a million times before by about a million comedians. It's one of the
You should do something about online dating. That hasn't been covered yet in stand-up
I think online dating has been covered, probably.
Watch some BBC thing from Edinburgh, the Edinburgh Festival, and like, say 70% of the comedians were doing some material about online dating.
Really? Yeah.
Most of them were. And the other ones were doing material about how old-fashioned their parents were.
Right.
Like that. It's proper working class, you know.
Just stuff that everyone can relate to, because everyone is doing online dating, but probably everyone feels a little bit unsure about it. And so it's quite appealing to have a comedian. Yeah, it's quite cathartic to laugh about the subject because everyone's like, oh, I do online dating, but I'm not sure if I should be ashamed of it or not. So it's probably quite comfortable subject for people to gather together and laugh about. It makes them all feel better. Yeah. Right, that's the end of this episode, ladies and gents. My brother is still here on Skype, but we're going to stop recording the episode. We'll probably hear from him again at some point in the future. Do send in your music to us. I think that could be a really interesting development for the podcast. Leave links to your music or send me your music, and we'll gather it together, and then we'll do like a music review thing on the podcast where we can talk about your stuff. All right? Good. Thanks for being on the podcast again, brother James.
Thanks, Luke. Thank you very much. Good to see you.
See you on Friday at the wedding.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Bye for now.
Peace out.
All right. So that was my recording there with my brother, Jim. I hope that you enjoyed that. You may have noticed various bits of language. I wonder if it was easy or difficult for you to follow. I'm sure that in these conversations, these sort of natural conversations I have with my brother sometimes, I'm sure that there are things that you miss. Perhaps because of the fact it's a Skype call, it's a little bit more difficult to hear everything. Although actually, I think the audio quality on these Skype recordings is remarkably good considering it's, you know, being done over the internet, I don't think that's really an issue, but it might cause you to misunderstand some things. But we speak fairly quickly, the two of us. We get quite involved in the conversation. We interrupt each other sometimes. Sometimes we annoy each other because we talk over the top of each other. It's brothers. That's what brothers do. Sometimes we get so frustrated that we have fights with each other. Obviously, you can't do that online. I can't punch him through the screen or something. but it might come through. I don't know if it comes through on the podcast, if you're able to pick up on the sort of tension, the brotherly tension that we have with each other sometimes. I felt a little bit of it in this episode. I don't know if you picked up on that. There's no reason why. I mean, we were just talking about music, but sometimes we just sort of like piss each other off. We've been doing it for, you know, 37 years, so that's nothing new, and it's absolutely fine. It's normal. It's just brothers being brothers. But I don't know why we piss each other off. I mean, it wasn't like he was fidgeting or fiddling. I think it's just because sometimes we both have things to say, and because he's the older brother, sometimes I'll start saying something and he'll just talk over me and I'll have to stop. You know, he just has like slightly higher status than me, and so he will interrupt me at times and I get frustrated. But you know, that's just the way it goes when you've got like brothers and sisters. You probably know what it's like if you've got older brothers or older sisters. Sometimes you piss each other off, and other people, like your friends who are there, they don't understand. They don't know why you're kind of getting on each other's nerves. Yeah, anyway, it's no big deal because basically my brother and me, we're very close. And you can probably tell that. I'm really glad that he's on the podcast again in this episode. I'd like to get him back soon. Do check out his music online. Go to teacherluke.co.uk. Find this episode. It's called Making Tunes with Jim. And there's a link there. You can check out all his music on Bandcamp. You can download it for free or you can pay for it. It's your choice. Do also consider sending me some of your homemade music, because then at some point in the future I can feature it on Luke's English Podcast. We'll do a special sort of music show where we'll feature some of your tunes and we'll talk about them and we'll play them to the world. That could be really good fun. All right, good. So that's it for this episode. Speak to you again very, very, very soon. But for now, it's goodbye. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.